Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. You're listening to Wheeler and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, we are, JK.
Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga will remain a Warrior, .. for now. But if you're just joining us, Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors have agreed to terms. They will not make it to deadline day, and it is not on the qualifying offer. Jonathan chooses, with a little extra money sprinkled in, a two-year deal with a team option for year two, which means it's really a one plus one. This is a one-year guaranteed deal with a Warriors option for year two at $48.5 million. Year one is $23 million. I need to ask some people out there, maybe send some text messages here in a little bit, but my understanding is in keeping that year one contract at $23 million, it does leave the Warriors some control over their 15th and final roster spot, which has been rumored to be ready for Seth Curry. Not Steph Curry, Seth Curry. And I was very hopeful that he is going to be on the team, and so we'll see. We'll see about that. But we're taking your calls right now. The JK Experience has finally got an answer. Both sides are in agreement that it is likely that come January, when eligible, Jonathan will be a part of trade discussions. So that doesn't change, but what does change, the threat of the qualifying offer and everybody being as angry as all get out, that's not going to happen. We also don't get the tension of the final day and the marching toward midnight Eastern tomorrow. We get training camp opening and Jonathan Kuminga is on the team at $23 million this year. For me, and this isn't about, I don't want to do who won the deal, because I think that in the end, what I'm worried about is Warrior fans, and I think that this is as good of a conclusion as we can get right now. But I do want to say that I think the Warriors, in the end, did a great job here, because there were two things that they really, really were after, I think. One is control. That option needed to be a team option. It maximizes his trade value, and the Warriors were firm on that. And the second thing is, we know Joe Lacob has been out somewhat in the public saying it. The second thing is, they absolutely, unequivocally had to avoid the idea of losing Jonathan Kuminga for nothing. And this deal checks both of those boxes. So in the end, I think the Warriors, they did a good job in finding something that works for them in what was obviously a very challenging situation.
Yeah, and I think that Aaron Turner, the agent, did a great job, and I want to personally thank him up front and just say...
Why?
Because the deal got done today. If the deal got done yesterday was already an unbelievable bleep show of emotion and topics with Melvin. And
the Niners lost.
And the Warriors media day.
Yeah.
I mean, 4 o'clock on a Tuesday where we're starting to put Jacksonville in the rear view. There's playoff baseball, but I can't even watch it because I'm so nauseous. And Buster Posey, he spent a day doing nothing. So, yeah, you got it done on the Tuesday. Attaboy, Aaron Turner. And I also look at what they got. And I mentioned this to you last week or the week before. If I was Turner and Kuminga, this is what I would have aimed for, because at the very worst, and it's not the worst because you're going to get $48.5 million, but if the Warriors have you for a year, they don't trade you, and they pick up your option, and you have to play there for 2 years, and you don't get to cook, and you get what you get, which is sporadic minutes. You get $48.5 million, and at that point, you are unrestricted, and you can put the deuces up, and you're gone. But the reality of the situation is your $23 million, which is on the books now, is so covetous and tradable that
yes,
you are likely to get dealt. And I'm just looking at the list. DeMar DeRozan makes 24.5. Kyle Kuzma's making 22. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is making 21.
Yep.
Marcus Smart's making the same. These are all guys on limited deals who are veterans, and we can play who fits the best later, but if you don't think Kuminga is the dude, there's a small list of guys who make about what he makes who you might like more than the way you like Kuminga.
Well, I know you love this reference. You know when Bob Barker on Price is Right used to do hole-in-one or two? Yeah, same thing here. They've got two chances to trade Jonathan Kuminga. It's this February, and in theory, the February after that, if it weren't to happen. And at that point, Jonathan would not just be a bendable contract at about $25 million. He would also be an expiring deal.
Or it could be a sign and trade at that point.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of options here. And again, what I know the Warriors really, really were against was the idea of losing the asset. I hate calling players assets, but losing the asset for nothing. And now this gives them, in theory, two winters, if needed, to find the right deal and help the current core of Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green. I'm sure the Warriors and Jonathan would probably want that this time around versus next time around. I think that there's a lot of room for feelings to come back up if you do that. But in theory, the Warriors keep the team option on a two-year deal. Jonathan will make a lot of money. Hopefully he plays and plays great and fits and all of that. But that's kind of for another day and a whole nother month and a whole nother life, quite frankly. Most importantly, what the Warriors now have is an incredibly movable contract that will be coveted by other teams around the league.
Yeah, especially if you're a team that wanted him before. And I mentioned DeMar DeRozan, who's making just a tick more, and he's got a two-year deal. So if you're in this two-year Steph Curry window, I don't know how much you think DeMar DeRozan fits because he's more of a high-volume scorer, but the dude can score. So if he is your sixth man and he's able to come in your backcourt and be a scorer, that might be somebody you could be interested in. Sacramento has already been open about liking Jonathan Kuminga. We heard the agent talk about B.J. Armstrong reaching out to them. B.J., of course, now working for Sacramento. So there are many of these dominoes that are going to fall and much of this topic that we can get into down the road. But for now, if you want to talk about who won the deal, I think the Warriors won it in a slightly greater way because now they're almost guaranteed to not lose the asset for nothing. If they have him here for 2 years, and after 2 years they don't get anything for Kuminga, well, that's on the Warriors even more so than it would have been. But now they've got the control. They've got control of Kuminga. They can trade him in January. You mentioned they can trade him in July. They can trade him the following January. And they can do a number of different things to make sure they recoup something. Ideally, Kuminga plays great and you win the championship this year.
That'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
I mean, that's what everyone's hoping for.
Listen, after everything that all of this has all been through, I kind of want to avoid the whole who won the deal thing. I get where you're coming from, but I just kind of want to know how people feel about the final answer, which we now have. Jonathan stays for now, two-year deal, $48.5 million, team option for year two. It's a one-year guarantee at $23 million. It leaves room for the 15th roster spot. That might be Seth Curry. We'll see. But Warrior fans, how do you feel about the answer where we have arrived? 888-957-9570. We will take your calls right now and throughout the afternoon here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. We also want to bring to this party the commentary that many of you may have missed, and it came from the Warriors at Media Day yesterday. And as Dibbs said, it kind of got largely swallowed up because the Niners had just lost a frustrating game. The quarterback's hurt again. Bo Mel has been fired. And so we just didn't get to a lot of this, but it's still interesting, even though we now have our final answer. And that is Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler talking about the situation that Jonathan Kuminga at that time was in. So let's start with this. Here's what Steph said, his message to Kuminga was.
Negotiations are hard. We all know that. The idea of everybody's situation is a little different. Everybody can come up with whatever narrative they want to. It's how business kind of goes. You know, some things are pretty straightforward. Some things aren't. This is definitely in the aren't conversation or category. But when he comes and he's here, he should be a professional and do exactly what he expects to do and take advantage of his opportunities to help us win. Like everybody who's in the locker room, that's what you're committed to do. And so I don't have any concerns that he'll approach it that way. And that's what we expect.
Okay. I think that's the next important question. And I actually have a pretty high level of confidence on that, which is that this is kind of a deal that I would hope allows for, at least on the temporary sense, it allows for the locker room to stay okay. It allows for Jonathan to come in and be working for a team goal as opposed to an individual goal. Still have concerns. No question, because this is tough now. Let's not make it sound easy.
I have no concerns about that.
That's fine.
I mean, because Kuminga's never, in my eyes, he's never played like he has individual goals. And if he was on the qualifying offer, I would worry about that. But now that he's got this deal and he's making $23 million, I don't think that it does him any good to play in that fashion.
I would argue that, and I would bet you $1 billion that in a private room, Steve Kerr would tell you that he absolutely plays sometimes with individual goals in mind. That's the problem. That's the problem that they've had. And so now he's being paid, and they all know the agreement is to kind of kick the can down the road, but this doesn't change anything. Jonathan is not like, yay, I'm a Warriors now. Like, if Jonathan wanted to really be a Warrior, he'd have signed a three-year deal. But he signed a two-year deal, so I hear what you're saying. I think it's challenging because Jonathan is still going to be thinking about who he thinks he can be, maximizing his value. I don't blame him for these things. It's hard to achieve that in limited minutes on a team that wants you to maybe play in a little bit of a different fashion. It's challenging. I'm not saying it's not doable, but it's very challenging. As you all know, Aaron Turner, Kuminga's agent, came on for a long time with Steiny and Goo. And there was the implication that Jonathan plays better when he gets the minutes and will play better if he gets the contract that he wants. Steph had something he wanted to say about that.
When his agent comes out and says, you know, if we get the contract we want, we'll be committed to doing everything we can to win a championship. What is your reaction to something like that and the idea of like conditional commitment?
I only listen to my teammate. I don't listen to agents or anybody who's speaking on behalf. Like, I hear that from JK.
What have you heard from JK?
He'll be committed when he gets here. I just know from man to man, he doesn't want to have to be in the way of anything. So let that situation play out. He can speak for himself.
Okay.
Love to hear that.
That's a phenomenal answer.
Which is hilarious because Steph Curry hears everything. He's the petty king. Right? So right. I have no doubt that he listened to every single second of that interview, but that's the correct answer. I don't listen to anybody other than my teammates. Yep. So when his teammate gets in, and hopefully it's tomorrow or I don't know when it will be, I'm sure there'll be conversations about, you know, with Draymond and probably not Jimmy because Jimmy's not.
Jimmy was basically like, I don't even want to.
Jimmy's like, where's Buddy? I feel like teasing somebody. Yeah, Steph and Draymond, I'm sure in a, you know, player-to-player conversation will be like, okay, you know, I know it's not ideal, but if you want the best for you and the best for us, they're the same thing, which is you go out and you play and you do what you do. And the question was a fair one. I do think that the agent, not that he misspoke, but what he was trying to say is if Kuminga gets regular minutes, then he is going to be better at all these things. The way it came out was if he plays, he'll rebound. Right. And if he doesn't play, he won't rebound.
I mean, well, he was also talking about the past. Like he pointed to data where he's like, if you notice that when he gets 25 minutes, then he plays hard. And I was like, ooh, good Lord. Do you realize what you're saying right now? It's a terrible look. And I'm with you. I don't think he meant it to come out that way, but it clearly did.
That's the way it came out.
It clearly did.
Yep.
All right. We'd love to hear from you, Jay, in San Jose, first up. 888-957-9570. What is your reaction? How are you feeling as a fan with this final kind of reality to the JK situation? A two-year deal, $48.5 million. It's a team option for year two. $23 million for year one, and JK stays for now. Jay in San Jose. Hi, Jay. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. So my conversation is more about the narrative at first was that Kuminga doesn't fit now that we got Jimmy Butler. If he doesn't fit then and we still got Jimmy now, why is it all of a sudden that ain't the conversation? If they had to go behind closed doors and say, if you sign this contract 2 years, team option, why won't you just say, we're going to trade you right after that? You make yourself more tradable. So now going into, you know, media day, everything is smooth.
Well, Jay, I think it is that.
So now is that if, does he fit now?
Well, I don't think that. See? So here, it's a fair question. I still don't think it has an answer. I can tell you because we've talked about this so much and talked to Steve so much about it. And Jay, stay on. I'd love for your reaction to this. I think the Warriors would tell you that whether or not JK can now fit is still a question that they couldn't really get an answer to in a short period of time. Jimmy's on the team. They're playing very well. Jonathan comes back from injury. They try to jam him in there and make it work. The team kind of starts playing worse. So they get to the playoffs and feel like we don't have any more time to experiment with this. I think they'd like more time to experiment with it, and they now have a little bit more time and less high leverage moments. So that's point one. But your other point about a trade, like that's still very much out there. We're not kidding ourselves. The reason the Warriors did this deal was not because he now fits. It's because this is the best way for them to hold on to the asset and see if they can try to get something for him on the market down the road.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What do you think, Jay?
I'm just sick of the narrative as if every time Steve Kerr says something a certain way, we got to run with it as if we're not educated basketball people. I've never heard someone say your best player or most athletic player, young and talented, don't fit because you got another person. You figure it out. So now we transfer to the DNP and we giving them benefits of the doubt because whatever. But let's go back to the Olympics. Look at Jason Tatum out on the court. This guy is a hard worker, don't cause trouble with nobody. First day, DNP, Steve Kerr tried to say, oh, we didn't know, we forgot. Then he do it again, and then he tried to say, oh, it was a matchup problem. What I'm trying to say is there's a certain type of player that Steve Kerr just doesn't like, and we try to feed it as if it's all about basketball.
Yeah, Jay.
What
listen,
is that type of player, I wonder? Jay?
I mean, Jay, you're basically saying that he doesn't like athletic wings? Is that what you're getting at? All right, Jay's non-responsive.
Yeah, as far as the fit goes, I do believe that there is credence to the discussion about having some lead time and some practice time and the ability to try it out in, I don't know, October in preseason games and early in the season. And if you look at when Jimmy came and JK wasn't there, by the time Jonathan Kuminga came back, he didn't get DNPs, by the way, right away.
Not at all.
And I'm looking at the log here. It was 20, 20, 27, 23. He played minutes. He played basketball games. And Jimmy Butler was out there. So they got to look at it. And then you got into that high leverage spot. And they didn't feel like he was the right fit for those games and those combinations.
Yeah, and I really, look, there's going to be high-level disagreement here. I do not think that Steve Kerr – doesn't like a certain type of basketball player. Like when Jay says, and I always, you hear this from everybody, he's your most athletic player. Figure it out. Well, who's that on? Who's that on? Who needs to figure it out? Because there is absolutely a give and take here. Do the Warriors want JK on the floor? Well, in a lot of situations they do. But figure it out also means you need to play a certain way. The offense goes through Steph Curry. And when Steph Curry's not there, it goes through Jimmy Butler. And does Jonathan see the court and want to do that? The answer is not always. And that's a fact. You can go look at video. You can look at the analytics. That's a fact. Is that all on Jonathan? It's not all on Jonathan. But this isn't about Steve not liking a certain type of player. And it's not about that kind of player, an athletic player, doesn't fit. It's often about what the Warriors are doing, what their approach is, and then what that player, what decisions that player makes when he gets onto the floor. And I don't even hold this against him. He's 22, and he's trying to maximize his value. That's what human beings do.
And when he played before Jimmy came, he was given license to play a certain way.
Absolutely.
He was basically your number two scorer, and he was able to go out there and cook. And when Jimmy came and he got healthy, it was no longer go cook, because when you get into ISO, Jimmy Butler is better than almost anybody in the league at that. So now Kuminga had to be a different player, and that doesn't fit what he does.
And the bottom line, no matter what everyone wants, because everyone's trying to rewrite history on this, this is just true. When Jimmy arrived, the Warriors got better. And whether or not the Warriors had a winning record with Jonathan before Jimmy, and then they had a losing record with that, the bottom line is, prior to Jimmy, they weren't good enough, and then after Jimmy, they were. That's it. And yes, it's unfortunate that Jonathan was hurt when that happened. But like, to ask the Warriors to stop doing what they were doing, which was the first thing that had been working at a high level in like a year and a half, is crazy talk. It was working.
Right.
So you keep going, and you try to put Jonathan in. That didn't help it. Okay, now we're in the playoffs. What do you do? Is DNP a little heavy-handed? Sure, you make that case if you want, but I get it. You know, it's like a starting pitcher in game seven. You gave up a run, you're out. Like, we don't have time for this.
In the playoffs, yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I mean, you got Butler, like you said, your team changed, you got better, you started winning, and Kuminga came back, and even his agent said, you know, when JK came back, he wasn't at 100%. Okay, I believe that. He had a severe ankle sprain that cost him 2 months. And so not only when he came back was he not used to playing with Jimmy Butler, he also wasn't 100%. And the role they were asking him to play was more of a 3-and-D guy. And I just was looking, Mark, he shot 14% from three after Jimmy came on the team. So if you're Kuminga, you're probably frustrated because that's not your game. And the game you want to play is not available, as you always like to say, because you had Jimmy and Steph, who were more the volume shooters. You needed Kuminga to be more of a Moses Moody type, and that doesn't really suit his game right now.
No question about it. 888-957-9570, Matt in San Rafael. Hi, Matt. Thanks for the call. What's up?
Hey, guys. So first, glad I'm talking Dubs instead of Niners, because I'm very worried about Thursday. It's interesting because I've been a Kuminga sort of detractor for his entire career at the Warriors because he's so talented and has so much to bring, and I just keep seeing him sort of not getting to where he needs to be. But the more I've looked at it, the more I think that it's been the situation as well as him. Let me explain. When the Dubs would play him out of necessity, they would say, do this, which is not really kind of the Warriors way or the Kerr way. It's like, go score points because we got injuries. You got to be the man. And it's got to feel great. And he loves it. And he's actually good at that as far as his game. And then all of a sudden they say, all right, now we need you to play within this scheme. And he's going, well, wait a minute. I'm good at this. I'm not good at the other thing. And it seems like I'm constantly being punished because I don't fit this square peg into your round hole the way you want me to. So now what I think has happened is the Dubs are like, look, we got to see if this is going to work, and we don't want to lose the asset. So phenomenal deal for the Dubs in that they have control. I read that he turned down a 3-year to maintain control. I think the Dubs are going to play training camp, maybe 20 games, see if he works, and if he doesn't, they move him and they get some assets for him instead of nothing. If he does work, which would be fantastic, what you have is a phenomenal player, potentially, who can not only but maybe shoot some from the outside, not great, but man, if he can learn to slash and finish on a consistent basis and defend, he's going to bring an element to the Dubs that they haven't had. They just haven't had.
Matt, I agree. This is a good call. Thank you, Matt. I agree completely. However, there's a piece of this I still find a little far-fetched in this moment, which is that Jonathan will now come back. He'll play great within this system, and everybody will ride off into the sunset together, and Jonathan will want to stay. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either.
Because that's not what Jonathan wants. Jonathan wants to go try to be an all-star and a Hall of Famer, and that's wonderful. What a great goal. If he sees that himself, don't try to get in the way of others' goals. We'll see how this evolves, but Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler aren't going anywhere anytime soon, and I don't think Jonathan wants to wait until 2029 to give that a shot. And so hopefully he plays well in the near term. I still think everybody is going to be highly motivated to trade him as soon as possible.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.